Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher and I'm your host this morning. And I welcome you to another Saturday morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank God for being here. I noticed last week someone told me that we had some difficulties with the mic, so I apologize for that. And we're going to set up a little rules and guidelines today, but first let's just thank God. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the gift of motherhood. You know, what a wonderful gift to be the mother of daughters. Children, period, you know. Just thank you, Father. As a mother, we seek guidance for our children, and we ask you, God, to grant us wisdom and strength and patience. Give us the love and the faith that we need to raise the children according to your will for their life. And God, we ask you that you create in us the willingness to dedicate ourselves to our children and our children to you. And we'll be careful to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, another Saturday morning. Thank God. It is wonderful. This is a holiday weekend. I stress to everybody, please be careful. A lot of people get excited because this is the beginning of summer. So they get excited about running around and being able to go to the beach and do whatever they think makes a difference in the timing. So just be careful when you're riding around, and if you don't have to go, don't go. You know, the less people on the road, the better. For the newcomers coming on, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host this morning on the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio, a place where mothers and daughters come to have an honest, exciting conversation. You can join us at 347-539-5078. Click 1 to join the conversation, or just simply call us at the number and listen. If you don't want to, you know, participate, at least you can listen, and as many do, and I'm sure you'll be blessed just like the ones that are sharing, and even more blessed for the ones that are sharing their thoughts on the topic for today. As usual, my favorite thing is to say, sit back, relax, get your favorite drink, and, you know, get your mothers and daughters on the phone. So we want you to start mother and daughter teams, just sitting around discussing how can we help each other be the best mother and daughter that we can be. Today we're going to add a little bit to that thought and with a topic that I, of course, like. It's the developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship. You know, that is something that, you know, when you're talking about development, you're talking, most people think of the smaller child from birth to high school. But the developmental stages are progressive stages, and that is eternal. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and how we can help our relationship and look at where we are in this developmental stage. I'd like to thank you for your interest in becoming a partner with Blog Talk Radio, the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. If you would like to become a partner with us, make a contribution, you can go to www.m as in mother, d as in daughter, b as in bonding, n as in network, .org. That's mdbn.org. Click on the donation button and make a contribution. Remember, if you plant a seed in another mother and daughter's relationship, it's just only going to give you harvest in your own, because every seed duplicate after its own. Or if you'd like to call me, you can call me at 786-462-6470, and we can talk about whatever the topic is that you want to talk about. Again, our topic today is the developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship. And I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host for today. I invite you to go and look at, I have a new website. It's called drbethy.com. Go visit the website, look at it, browse around, look at some of the programs that we have, some of the classes that we're doing, and see if any of them benefit you. Any counseling, just look at it. Send me a comment. Go to the comment page and send me a comment. Tell me what you think, suggestions. I really, really appreciate it. I just want to know that you've been there, you looked at it. It's www.drbessie.com. DrBessie.com. So that we won't prolong a lot of time this morning, I'm going to make this brief. As many of you know, it's Saturday morning. I come on, I tell you about the upcoming events. I don't tell you a lot about the smaller events that we're having, like Mother and Daughter Teas with the Girl Scouts and Mother and Daughter Appreciation we had on April the 13th at Nova University. And then we had at Gifford College, we had the Mother and Daughter Tea with the Girl Scouts a couple of weeks ago. We're speaking, we're doing programs, things are happening at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center. But on the national level, we are having the Mother and Daughter Crusade, which is September the 10th, 2011. So I want you to go in, and when you go to my website, look at upcoming events. It will give you all of the events that we are doing and how you can participate in some of these events. The Crusade is set September the 10th, where mothers and daughters are coming together, actually praying for the relationship for mothers and daughters, the change in helping to create healthier families. We also have the Cinderella Ball. The Cinderella Ball, I want you to know that you can dress like Cinderella. Each mother and daughter come with your favorite Cinderella gown. You know, I'm going to wear one of those floating Colonel Slip kind of a gown that just sticks out. Really Cinderella. Have your favorite mask and your tiara. It's going to be a fun, fun night. And when we finish that, the next day we're going to get up, get ready, and we're going on a cruise. We're going to Jamaica on Carnival Cruise Line, November 13th. We'll come back on the 19th. That's 6 days of fun. Again, if you want some information on that, you can contact me at 786-462-6470 or go to my website, drbessie.com, and you can look at upcoming events. I want to give a thanks to, as always, to the Mother and Daughter Ambassadors, who is our volunteer group. They work hard putting on programs, bringing these things together to make sure that we are visible in the community. I want to thank the Vision Board Committee and the International Crusade Committee. Today, our topic is the developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship. I also want to be able to thank Mrs. Virginia Lee Palmer, who is the correctional officer at Rikers Island for 15 years. And every time I think about that, I think about her size, and I think about being a female and the toughness of Rikers Island, and I go, wow, you know, what? I mean, she's been there, so you know she's tough for 15 years. Also, she's a karaoke lover, and we have a private joke on that. Everybody knows her, knows that she loves to sing. She's doing this in honor of her mother, Mrs. Dolly Virginia Palmer, who was a teacher and a loving mother of four daughters. Now let's get into our topic. Thank you, Mrs. Palmer, for your dedication to the program. The topic today, we are dealing with the developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship. And before we get into that, I'd also like to say I'm going to put my phone very close to me. A couple people did try to text me last week, and I didn't have the phone close to me to get the text. And they were trying to text me to tell me that the sound was off. So my phone is closed. If you're having difficulties with the sound, I have some sound checkers out there. If you would just text me, and I'll try to do the best that I can on this end to make sure that you can hear the entire program. And I thank you for that. So let's look at our topic. Our topic: the developmental stages of the mother and daughter relationship. Now, last week we talked about the hidden thoughts of a mother's feelings of unworthiness and how it affects her daughter. And because we had some difficulties, I decided I would just touch on a few points from last week, and that would bring us into our topic for this week. After getting a few calls of not having sound, so I wanted to make sure that you got the essence of it. We talked about the hidden thoughts of unworthiness that is a killer. Unworthiness is a killer that lies at the root of your thoughts. And every decision that you make is measured with that thought in mind. We talked about where there the thought of the killer of unworthiness, you know, we talked about where did that thought come from? You know, everything is like a seed being planted. When you have your daughter and that daughter is born on a clean slate, comes, you know, all equipped, and it has provisions to receive information from you, the mother. And when you do that, where does unworthiness come into play? You know, where did a child get that thought that I'm not good enough? Did that come out of the word out of the mouth of your mother, or those words that she spoke, or someone around you, your father, cousins, uncle, teacher? Did someone make you, someone had to say something in order for you to think that? You know, were you told that you wasn't good enough, that you wasn't smart enough? That brings about that killer, unworthiness. And unworthiness is a quality, a state, a lack of merit, a value. It's a feeling of inappropriateness. And in a sense, unworthiness is a trap. It leads to self-doubt. And whenever you doubt yourself, it's hard to get to the next level of your life. I mean, we can deal with other people because then we can figure out a way to say, you know what, they don't matter. I don't care about them. My life is not connected to their life. We can come up with something that can justify why we can just put them to a side and move on because, you know, they're not attached to us, so we can detach them physically and mentally. But you cannot detach your own mind from your mind. So therefore, unworthiness is planted in your mind. It is a trap. It leads to self-doubt. It makes your struggle harder. So last week we were talking about don't let the enemy steal your life by making you feel that you're not worthy of the goodness of our Father. That goes against all that Jesus came to the earth to do, and that is to make sure that you come through him to the Father as if you were clean and pure as he is to the Father. So when you feel unworthy and you don't feel good enough, that affects the developmental stages of your relationship with your daughter and your entire family, your friends, and your community. And that's how we're coming into our topic today, because out of all of the thoughts, it's all about how you feel about yourself that help you progress and move from one stage of your life to the other. Now, I know a lot of times people think the stages are from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. And that's kind of a progressive thing that we're taught that, you know, yesterday's gone, da, 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 da. But the developmental stages, in my opinion, is a little tighter than that. We don't get that leeway from day to day, let alone week, a month, a year. Now, when I look at the developmental stages and the progress between a mother and daughter relationship or just in the relationship with yourself, each day there are 840,000 seconds in the day. So we talked about this about a month or so ago. Now, when you have 840,000 seconds in a day, each second is a part of a changing, advancing, expansion of the relationship. So from second to second, there's a change in your relationship with yourself, with others, and especially with your daughter. So we talked a little bit last week about if you have 840,000 seconds and your daughter is there, and, you know, or it was the week before, and we're talking about your daughter's watching you. That was our topic. What is she seeing? She has 840,000 seconds. If she's with you 24 hours a day, she's watching you that many times. She sees a lot, which affects the relationship between you and your daughter. Because, as we said then, every closed eye is not sleep. So children see and hear a lot, but they keep it to themselves because they dare not mention it to their parents, because back in my day, you'd get a good spanking, or, as we call it, a whipping, which was really serious. So we are accustomed to just being, that we just don't realize the evolving process that is taking place in our lives every second. We don't take it down to the second, because, see, it goes back to when God says, you know, no man will know the hour or the second that I come. The minute or the second. Everything. The second makes the minute makes the hour. So with every second, which are 840,000 per day, we are moving forward in the direction of our eternal life. So when you think of the number of seconds that bring the change in your life on a daily basis, you really get in the consciousness of your mind. If you really get that, and it really sits in the consciousness of your mind, you're like, wow, every second I'm getting older, my body changed. You may not recognize it, but every second something is changing in your body. It's moving. It's going forward. It's aging. When you get that, other things really don't matter that much. You will realize that there is no time to waste on not forgiving someone, not forgiving your mother, your daughter. Because then you realize time is moving, and you need to move with it. Now, the older I get, the more I hear people say, time is really, really moving. It seems like the year just begun, and now we're in the summer. Where has the time gone? You know, don't you hear people say that? Where has the time gone? You know, if I just had enough time, you know, there's not enough time in the day. Because, see, that's where they are in their consciousness. But time is the same, as it always has been, evolving at the speed of 840,000 seconds per day. It hasn't changed. We have the same 24 hours as it was from the day you were born, or the beginning when it started. You have 24 hours. The time hasn't changed. It is your thoughts of the things and the situations in your life and how those things are being affected in your life and at this time that makes you look at time differently. Because then you start doing an assessment of your time, and time becomes valuable to you the older you get. So you're in a developmental stage every 30 seconds. You're progressing. Now, let's look at a teenager. It is so amazing. When we look at teenagers, you know, sometimes I hear the older you get, the conversation change. You'll hear a 30-some-year-old mother say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe the teenagers of today. You know, they're calling me Miss So-and-so, because they don't want to be called Miss So-and-so at 30. And then you get to your 50-some-year-old, and you just say, I just don't understand the teenagers. We would never do the things that they're doing. My mother would have a fit. We could not do and talk to adults the way that they're doing it. And then you get the older woman that's 80-some years old. She simply, I mean, a heart stop at some of the things that we do at 50, because she could never imagine doing that in her life. So every stage of the development of our relationship with ourselves and with others, especially our daughters, there's an evaluation. Everybody has a different take on it. Now let's look at the teenager. Now, as a teenager, your daughter thinks she's going to live forever. She doesn't think about time. She doesn't think about what developmental stage she's in. She just knows, I'm a teenager. Life is exciting. I'm exploring life. It's all good. I have my friends. And every day I get a little more freedom. And I just can't wait till I get 18. Because when I get 18, I'm going to be able to make my own decisions. I'm going to be able to move out of my mama's house, and I'm going to be able to go and come when I want to, and I won't have to hear her voice, and I won't have to ask her permission. But she's living, time is of no essence to her. So when she is 18 to 24, she's just working on freedom, the escape, which she thinks is so bad at the moment, but really it is not. It takes a while to realize how good you have it when you're at mama's house as opposed to being in your house. Well, she wants to recognize, and she wants her mother to recognize, between 18 and 24, that she's a woman. And she wants to move out of her mother's house or parents' house into a place of her own, and that, to her, is freedom. That's one developmental stage. Then she wants to experience her own decision-making process. You know, she wants to see if she can make better decisions than her mother did for her. You know, of course, you know, I can do it better. She doesn't know. Every generation that comes behind you think that they know a better way to do it. So as mothers, we have to take control of the situation in our parenting, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. I don't want to get ahead of myself as we raise our children. So let's look at when your daughter she turns 25 to 35. That's an age group there where she starts thinking about where she is in her life, and then she starts evaluating her present situation. You know, and I'm saying this because we as mothers can all probably share in these thoughts. I know I did. You know, it comes to times when you're 35, you know, I'm not 20-something anymore. 30 is cute because, you know, everybody, oh, I'm turning 30. You know, they want to really, I never went through that because it didn't matter to me. I'm glad I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, you know, whatever. But some people do deal with it differently. And 35 is a marker. That's where she start really thinking about her life, and she starts evaluating her present situation. And in most cases, if your daughter is not happy or pleased with her development in her life at the age of 35, she starts looking at her mother and what her mother did or what her mother didn't do during that rearing process. You know, sometimes they'll say something to you, and sometimes they don't. But, you know, at 35, they start evaluating. Or they may say, you know, my mother tried to tell me to go to school. My mother tried to tell me. I wish I had listened to my mother. I wish I had gone to college. You know, I wish I hadn't taken that turn. My mother tried to tell me. 35, what happened? And sometimes that's where the blame come in, the question to the mother, the daughter is asking the mother, why did you do this, that, or the other? Or what happened? You know, what happened? Either way, she feels that it is not her fault that she's not where she thinks she should be. You know, somebody's got to take the blame for it. So when the daughter's doing her evaluation in her developmental stage and the process, keep in mind, you're still in your relationship, that mother and daughter relationship, she's now 35, and she's doing evaluation. So what happened? Why am I not where I'm supposed to be? So, of course, most times people don't want to blame themselves. They want to look at the external things that happen if she hadn't done this or that, the other, and if her and daddy didn't separate it, and if she had just made me do, I would have. Some kids really get mad because they say, you were the mother. You should have made me, which they are fighting you the whole time. But as they get older, they come back and say, you are the mother, which is blame. This is a part of the developmental stages where honest conversations usually need to take place in the relationship when the daughter's around 35. But if you notice, I said usually needs to take place, but so often it doesn't. And from 35 to 50, now I'm still talking about the daughter. Now your daughter, your daughter's daughter is finishing school. And now she's moving on with her life. And in some cases, you have a granddaughter in this mix of the developmental stage. And at that point, you know, most people decide, well, you know what? Hey, let's just let bygones be bygones. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I've heard that. Some people say, it's just not worth even discussing. It's just not worth even talking about. You know, it happened. I don't know what happened. Let's just let bygones be bygones. And, you know, everybody have a different take on it. I just feel that it should be talked about. Because you think it's bygone, but it still comes up in your subconscious mind. Now, if it's bygones and you can get rid of it and it never, ever comes back into your mind, not even once, then good. I say do it. But if it comes back in your mind and caresses your thoughts just one time, you need to talk about it. Because what it is a hidden killer. Somehow or another, it ties back to something that's not worthy. And it affects your decisions. You may not consciously believe that. But if you think about it, if it comes up, why is it coming up? Why would it return, that thought? Because you want to know or receive an answer to it. So you can't and you shouldn't use an excuse, mother, that, you know how you do sometimes when a child is small, you use an excuse and you say, you know, well, I wanted to explain it to her, but I thought she was too young. I didn't think she was old enough to receive the information, so I decided not to tell her. Now, she asked me why, and I told her, when you get older, I will discuss it with you. But as the child grew, the thought of discussing it grew farther and farther from the reality of the truth. The mother decided, if she doesn't ask me again, I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm just going to let bygones be bygones. And the daughter is saying to herself, well, I asked her, and she told me that she would share that information with me at a later date. So I'm not going to ask her again. Now you have two conversations going on, but everybody's smiling and everybody's having small talk. And they go with this thing, hi, how are you today? I'm fine. You know, the mother asking the daughter, did you have a good day? Yes. How was work? Fine. How's the children? Fine. You know, small talk. But there's a hidden secret which holds back and steals and destroys your growth, because that conversation will dominate your thoughts and sometimes diverge you. It's a diversion from the reality of the truth. So therefore, you're on a different plane. You're on a different road than your life was designed for you, because you have not gotten what you feel you need to have to open up so that you can realize your reality as a daughter. So So, however, I personally believe that this type of honest conversation should be developed from birth, the birth of your daughter. The moment you looked at her in her eyes, when the doctor put that baby in your eyes and you look into her eyes and you, usually the mother says, I love you, either with words or through that energy and that strong feeling from your heart. Now, I know there are different children at different stages of their life, and some are more wiser than others. Some kids you just can't just say anything to and think that they're going to take that and run away with it, because they won't. They will come back to you time and time again, and they'll ask you the same question in 10 different ways. And when you get that, you need to realize they know that you're not telling them the truth. They're not going to disrespect you and say, well, you're not telling me the truth. That, you know, as my daughter used to tell me, because, you know, I'm not, this message is for me too. When she was little, I tried to figure out ways to not tell the whole truth. I try to figure out ways to make it easier for her as at her age, the best way to say it. Some things she'd ask me, I try to really avoid because she was very wise at her age, and she would just walk away sometimes with a puzzling look, but she would come back. And that was my training point. And I learned to try to do it the very best I could. But she would say, you know what, Mama? That just didn't make sense. So I'm like, well, oh, okay. I mean, she's 3 or 4 years old. That just doesn't make sense. And so I had to realize that her mental capacity was wiser than a 3 or 4 year old. And I had to talk to her with a different word. So we sat down and made a pact that, you know, I will, you know, you ask me, I'm going to tell you the very best I can. So, no, it's not easy to have an honest conversation. And I know sometimes people will say to me, well, Dr. Fletcher, you get on there and you talk about having an honest conversation. Is it easy for you to have an honest conversation? No. No. It's painful. It's hard. It hurts. But you got to do it. It's a part of that love. It's a part of that forgiveness. And, yes, it stretches you. It puts a knot in your stomach. You don't want to do it. It's like your mama telling you to go get a switch and don't bring me a small one, and you walk in slow because you know what the experience is going to be. No, it's not easy to have an honest conversation, but it's worth it if it's going to destroy the relationship between you and your daughter. If you are going to leave this earth and carry information with you that's valuable to the growth of that daughter. Because she is going to make decisions for her family based on her growth, based on her ability to make honest conversation with her children. And she can only get that if she gets it from you. So I say use the very best words that you can if your child is small, according to their ability or mental capacity to understand. Now, once you start this practice, and you start this practice as the child is a baby, then you won't have to worry about it when she's 35, the feelings of not being able to tell the truth, the feelings of not being able to, not necessarily telling the truth, but not knowing how to share the honest conversation with the child. And like I say, this is an honest conversation. And a lot of times, you know, as close as my mother and I was at the time, my mother is no longer with me, you know, love her dearly. And I knew she loved me. But I also knew that we could have conversations up to a certain level. But if I entered into an area that she did not want to explore, she shut down. She shut down. And I challenged that because she did not want to share old family secrets. She'd rather just let it go, let bygones be bygones. And so, you know, that can hurt us in a way, but it can also help us in a way. And I decided that, you know what, I'm going to flip the switch on my daughter. I'm not going to do it that way. And it's still hard. But I work very hard not to do it that way, because I don't want to leave here with my daughter having a question about something and she never get the answer. And my mother left with questions, but I never got the answer. I don't know if anybody else out there can relate to that or not. But then at this point in my life, I will never get the answers from her. And I realize how important that is, because my decisions are being made simply because I never really got the answer that I was looking for. So when you don't get the answer that you're looking for, then you use what you have. You use what you gain through education. You use what you gain through friendship and knowledge and church and reading the Bible. That gets you through. But even that, there's that thought that comes up every once in a while, and there's a question that you have that you never got from your mother that could make the difference in your life. And you know if that's you. So if your mother, your daughter is still alive today, I urge you to get the answer. It will set you free. It will allow you to grow. It will allow you to accept the words of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have that relationship with your mother to get your answers, then it's hard for you to believe someone that you don't know. You will fight, and that's the fight of faith. You will fight for faith. How can you believe someone that you don't know and you haven't seen? You have your mother, and you say, you know what? I didn't get all of my answers from her. So it has a greater effect on your spiritual life. Not saying that you can't get there. It just takes a little longer and a little harder work. But you can get there, but it never erases the fact that you never got it. So that's the honest part of my mother and daughter relationship. And I'm sharing that with you today so that you as mothers, as you get older, and you have that daughter that's 25 to 30, and she's beginning to make an assessment of her life, and you as the mother saying, my, where has the time gone? You may say, I woke up this morning, it was Monday, I laid down, and I woke up, and it was Friday. Some say time is waiting on no one. Each year, time is moving faster and faster. And I say, no, time isn't moving faster. It's your time clock that you're watching inside of your head according to your experiences and your information that's in your subconscious mind. Because you feel an urgency to get answers, to figure out why, where am I at now, why am I here? What can I do to make the change? That's why when you see a person getting older, they move closer and closer to God. They pick that Bible up, they read more, because they know time is moving. It's not moving faster. It's moving faster in your mind, because you know now, as an older mother, when you become late 50s, early 60s, you know that you're moving closer to eternity. You're not going backwards. So just as your daughter made an assessment at 35, usually a mother, 60, 65, is making an assessment where they are, what they're doing, and where they're going. So I suggest that you don't waste your time, not another moment, before you make an amends to enjoy the good of that which was given to you by birth of your daughter within your mother and daughter relationship. As hard as it is, when she comes to you and asks you the question, or if the question comes up in your mind and you know she's asked you before, go to her. Believe me, if she asks you at 5, she's still remember that the question was not answered. So as I like to say, mothers, go get your daughters, and go get your mother. Time is at hand. I thank you. I thank you for listening. I hope that was a blessing to someone. Time is at hand. And really, you don't have any time to waste. So I'm going to open up the lines. If you'd like to discuss the conversation today, if you would just simply pick one, we will have a conversation continued. It's 954. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you this morning?
I'm absolutely awesome. Thank you so much.
Great. Awesome.
Well, you know,
good.
I'm always awesome when I can find myself going to see about my sons, if you will. I don't have any daughters, but, you know, I'm traveling right now. So I'm my name is Cynthia Oliver, and I am one of the ambassadors for the audience. So I'm up in headed to Tallahassee to go and see my son perform. So I'm always at my best when I'm going to see about my children.
Mhm. Great.
Yeah, and it was so incredibly God and His all wise self. When I opened my Bible this morning, I actually turned to Ephesians. It was on Ephesians 6, talking about children and their parents, and how that relationship is a problem in the fact that children often feel rejected at times. And any time, and it could be a feeling of rejection. It don't even have to be true to the fact that the mother is neglecting that child, but there's a feeling of rejection there for whatever reason. And without, like you stated, without an honest conversation, that we get stuck in those feelings, and we can't get past it, and then. When the children come to moms and moms don't want to talk about, and she might not even have had any control over what took place. She might and she might not. But just the mere fact that she refuses to let that child in on, if you will, that secret, if you will, that child is left in that place of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it is those feelings of rejection. There's a great consequence, and oftentimes you're left in a lot of emotional distress and pain, and you're not real sure exactly what it is, but you know you have an irritation going in your spirit most of your life when those secrets and that lack of a honest conversation, if you will. And I just challenge moms and daughters all over the world to talk to each other, because it just you can never really get past where you are without that, and stop trying to figure it out on your own. It's not all about you. You've got to talk to each other, and you've got to seek God, because He can only give you the heart to forgive that mom, that daughter, and whatever has happened. In order that we can get past this thing and not feel neglected, if you will, for whatever reason. And I just challenge moms and daughters all over the world to just start loving each other and stop holding on to the past, because, like, as you stated, Dr. Fletcher, time is moving and it ain't waiting on nobody. Don't leave this world angry with your mom. Don't leave this world with that disconnect between mothers and daughters. It's not worth it. And God
really
said, if you can't forgive, God says, if you can't forgive that the person who's right here on earth, how can He forgive you?
Mm-hmm.
Find out what took place, and mom, start talking. And I just want to thank you, Dr. Fletcher, for allowing me to share that, because you know my story.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
you.
Dr. Fletcher. You're welcome. You're welcome.
No, don't be sorry. I thank you. I'm sure somebody's being blessed by this conversation, because, see, people don't realize, just like you get up and people think, I say travel, But you can get up and just go out to get in your car or just to walk across the street and get killed just like that. See, you know, most people in their minds, they think, oh, I have plenty of time, or we'll get it together later. And you're not promised that. See, that's why I want to stress that 840,000 seconds, because each second is a change. So you expect something different every second. Whether you hear, you may be here this second and go on the next. There is. And people think when God says, you know, you don't know the time, the day, the hour, the second in which I come, they think it's the rapture. They think it's Jesus coming back, flying through the sky. Yeah, that's a part of it. But, hey, your life,
the time
in which I come and say, you know what, it's time, your time is up. They don't think like that. They think that they have plenty of time. All right, well, let me get some other callers. Thank you very much. Have a safe trip. And the best to your son in this production. We're very proud of it.
Thank you. And let me say one last thing. It's that lack of understanding that blame keeps going.
Right. Right. And that's the lack of the honest conversation.
Yeah.
Thank
you so much, Dr. Fletcher, for letting me share.
Oh, thank you for sharing. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Tell Mr. Al I said hello.
Will do. Will do. Bye.
Good morning, 954. Good morning. Good morning, 347. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Vesey. How are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm on I-95. I'm in Richmond, and I'm driving, and it's awesome. Well, Diamond is driving, but we just listened to the show today, and it was so awesome. I have to go back, re-listen to last week, and catch up on this week because it was just so outstanding. And I just hope everybody got it because it was something to get. You don't know when your time is up. You can't take time for granted. If you got something to do, do it. And I've been testing with that for the longest with some people in my family and friends and stuff like that. But if they're on the air today, I hope they got it, and I hope we can get it together. And I just thank you, Dr. Vesey, for your radio show every Saturday. It gives me inspiration to keep me through the week, and I know other people as well. And I just want to thank you, and I just say I see that you're a woman of God, and just keep it up and just keep doing it. And just keep doing it because it is just so awesome. And I just want to say for myself, I got it this week. I got so much from this topic. And I didn't even have my pen and paper to write anything down. But I'm going back, and we're going to have discussion. This is just awesome. Thank you. I'm on fire. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Y'all be careful out there driving now and have a safe vacation.
Thank you.
All right. Tell Diamond to drive safely.
All right.
We love you, and thank you very, very much for sharing your thoughts this morning. And I pray and hope that everybody gets it. I really do. I felt blessed myself that the Holy Spirit spoke that message through me. So we can all, I'm going to go back and listen to it myself. So you know, it took an impact to deliver it. I need to go back and listen because I felt like it was such a message for me as well. So you all be safe, and we love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Good morning. 678, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Great. Great, great, great.
I just want to I'll be brief because I know you have other callers, but I just want to touch
base.
You're
fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just want to touch bases on what Cynthia said when she was talking about holding secrets, and I think like you said, we don't know when our time is coming, whether God's going to call us individually to come and be home with him, come and go home with him, or when Jesus is going to come through the sky. So it is time for each and every person to not walk in a spirit of unforgiveness and being offended, and that's something that we all deal with in one way or another, whether we admit it or not, of being offended or letting something go that has affected us. But we have to, I like what she said about keeping the secrets. We can't walk around and pretend that we've always been saved, or we've always tried to live a godly life with our children or even with ourselves. We have to admit when we've missed it. We have to admit when we did miss it that we were not always saved. And a lot of times our youth today is looking for integrity. They're looking for honesty. They're looking for someone that can come down to their level. If you knew one time that you used to live in do certain things in life, and they ask you about it, it's no need to preach hell and damnation on them when you yourself haven't always been that way yourself. And if you just be honest with them, like you said, have an honest conversation. Yeah, I used to, but God delivered me from that. And you can learn from my errors, or you can learn from my experience. And I think we can reach our youth, we can reach our community by just being honest, not being deep, just being, you know, a godly person, coming down on their level, letting them know it's okay to miss it, but when you miss it, repent and move on and don't try to miss it again.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. That is so true. Because, you know, when you're talking about what we're talking about this morning, the developmental stages, you know, and the relationship, you know, it is important that they realize every second is a change. And people really get to that, they'll look at life totally different because they realize, you know, I may be here this second, I may not be here the next second. So I'm going to make the best of this second because those seconds add up to minutes. And then you got an hour and then you got a day and there you are. But, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, the mother and daughter really have to evaluate where they are and where that daughter is and then make those changes. Thank you very much for sharing. I truly appreciate that. And you have a blessed holiday weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good morning, 817. How are you doing? Okay, I think 817, just as I clicked, I missed you somewhere. Let's see. Oh, no, there you are. 814, how are you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. This is Sonia Flemings from Pennsylvania.
How are you doing?
I am blessed. I am blessed. And even just like the other callers, I thank God for you. I thank God for you as far as your transparency. I thank God for you to endure everything that you had to go through and that you chose, because we all have a choice with it, to go through it so that you can give us this seed of faith, the seed of hope, and another arsenal weapon in our grasp to go ahead and go. And I know that even when we were talking, even when you were speaking as far as the 840,000 seconds, and even as far as with the Lord coming back with the rapture or calling us home, and my take on it is that I know that that's going to come, but I heard this before, and I say it a lot. I want my ham where I am. I want a taste of heaven here. I want to live that abundant life, and even with my children, with my daughter, you know, and so we can experience what Christ has died for. And I thank God for that, because I know it's not easy to go ahead and speak it, but even having that honest conversation. And I thank God that he has used you. So once again, because I remember, and just like you said, even with the technology, and I don't know what Ahimelech and all the other milks gave to our children. But they are smarter, and I look at them, and I'm like, yeah, she remembers. She remembers and being able to have that honest conversation. So I thank you for being obedient. I thank you for your steadfastness. I thank you, dear. I thank God for you. Because I know it's not easy, but it sure is worth it.
Thank you very, very much. I truly appreciate that. I appreciate it. Yeah, it is. It's not easy, but you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. I get up, and I just know this is what God is using me to do, and I just truly enjoy it. And every morning, every Saturday morning, I am blessed with a message that I have no knowledge of before Saturday morning sometime, bright and early in the morning. So it amazes me. But I'm going to go back and listen to this particular show myself. Because even as the words came out of my mouth, I know they was not my words. They, you know, because I always submit myself to the Holy Spirit and say, you speak through me. And what I heard came through my mouth, I need to go back and listen to it myself. As some preachers say, I could preach that to myself. Well, I need to go back and listen because I know there's a deeper message in there just for me. And I thank you for being a listener. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your comments. You have a blessed weekend.
You too, and I had one question as far directed to you. Even with the honest conversation, what kind of atmosphere do you just go back to the daughter? Do you go back to the child and just say, or what do you recommend as far as even initiating the honest conversation?
Well, you just start where you are. You know, you if you have an issue with want to get a conversation with your daughter, be honest enough to say, you know what, over the past years, you know, I've had this thought, and whatever the situation is, it has not resonated right in my spirit. And what I'd like to do, and you may reference, you know, I've been listening to the radio program, and it just pressed more and more in my spirit that I would like for us to sit down and just have an honest conversation from where we are now. Whatever questions you have for me or the questions that they've asked that you have not answered, you know, start there. And it will evolve because once you initiate that and first, you know, what have I done? Please forgive me and let me let you know that I love you and I've always loved you. And I want us to start a new relationship. We're going to reconnect and rebond. And how are we going to do that? I just want to open myself up. Whatever you need to know, ask me and I'm going to tell you. Because that's what we're talking about when you have that daughter that's 30 to 35, 25 to 35, you no longer can use the excuse, well, she's not old enough to understand. She's a grown woman. If you got the daughter that's 18 to 24, then you're also dealing with another level of adulthood. So you've got to adjust it accordingly. But I would just start with, I love you, and if you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for it. And then usually people will then soften and they can hear you. But call me. You have my number. Call me step by step. I'm going to end the show, and then we can talk later on this afternoon. If you call me after 3, we'll talk about a little bit how you can start the process and take it from there. Okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too. Well, I thank you today. It was a very exciting conversation. And again, like I said, you know, ooh, we have 840,000 seconds. You don't want to miss one of them. The developmental stages of your daughter and your relationship is at the point of now. Mothers, go get your daughters, and daughters, go get your mothers. It's very important to the welfare and the mental stability of your grandchildren. Now, you know, I always push the grandchildren, because our daughters are as healthy as we help them to be. But our grandchildren will be only as healthy as our daughters. And if they don't have it, our grandchildren won't get it. And even when we think they have it, they still need more. Because if you look at yourself, we could use more. Unfortunately, some of our mothers are gone, and we do have questions that have not been answered. But you know what? That's where you lean on God. Because once they're gone, you're never going to get the answers. Have a blessed weekend. God bless you. You guys be safe, and I love you, and I'll see you next weekend. Bye-bye.